This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he is the third musketeer in this show. Fourth musketeer,
Lesson
BA.
Yeah.
It's a combination.
Yeah, BA.
He's Brian Anderson, former Indians pitcher, the pride of Geneva. Hello, Brian.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, how we doing?
We're hanging in, bud. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, you know how it goes. I think we're all living the Groundhog's Day, theme. And so, you do the best, try to make the most of it. But, I'm sure that you feel the same way. I'm sure a lot of your listeners feel this way. It's getting kind of old. You know, the stir craze. I can't believe we've been doing this for a month already.
Yeah, I know.
And you just wonder how much longer it's going to go before people start to lose it.
BA, I don't know. I've been watching like Michael Simon do cooking classes online. What could you do? What could BA do to help make society better as we sit here? And I was thinking maybe he could do an ironing class for us. That would be a good one. Or
you know
a pickoff move.
I could do that. Yeah, that's a good idea, because when I was growing up, one of the jobs that I had, you know, we had chores to do at the house, you know, like you all did. But we had chores to do at the house. And one thing that I had to do was once a week, I would have to do the ironing for the house. So all of the clothes got washed and thrown into the basket, you know, I would have to iron them at the end of the week. And it was one of those jobs where you were like, why am I ironing? You know, this is, something you felt like you shouldn't be doing. And come all these years later, it was the best thing really job-wise that my mom ever did for me. Because with all of the travel, Andy, you guys know all about this. With all of the travel and the fact that we're putting the monkey suit on every night, I have to iron every single day, whether I'm at home or on the road. So I could do that. I could probably do that well. Other than that, I think maybe the only other thing I could offer right now is once a week coming onto your show for 15 or 20 minutes. Other than that, I'm probably best to just stay behind the scenes.
Brian, do I
see?
Dare
I was
ask...
hoping for like.
Go
ahead, Jeff.
I was hoping. Do I dare ask how a guy with all the ironing experience had the ironing mishap?
I will tell you why. I was in and I don't know if I've told this story before, but I was ironing. I had to angle. We were in Texas, and we had gotten in on a Sunday, you know, after a day game that we had already played. And so now it's Sunday evening, and I'm ironing my clothes because we're going to go grab a bite to eat and all that. So I angle the ironing board into the bathroom. And so I'm in the bathroom waiting for the iron to heat up. And I get burned all the time traveling on the road, because sometimes that hotel iron, you plug it in and it turns right on. You wait a couple minutes and here you go. Other times you have to actually turn it on. It doesn't go on automatically. So I've been burned so many times, not literally, only once, but that had come back to bite me so many times that I would plug it in, and then when I would be ready to iron, I'd pick the iron up and just hold it up to my face. And not close, but close enough to where you could feel the heat emanating off it, and then it was time to iron. And it happened to be that night that the Indians were playing on Sunday night baseball, and Bartolo Colon was pitching. And so I had gone in there, and something happened in the game as I held the iron up to my face, and I could hear the reaction on TV, and I quickly looked around the corner to see what had happened in the game, and that's when I had laid my face right on the iron. And even though it wasn't for very long, it left its mark. It left its mark with the steam holes on the side of my cheek. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I was pitching the next night, so I looked like a complete fool out on the mound.
Just put a Band-Aid on there. That's
you did make the start, though?
Oh, I did make the start. It wasn't enough to lay me up, but I let's just say that I never was much of an intimidating, you know, I'm not 6'5", 230 pounds out on the mound, you know, 5'11", you know, 6 foot, 190 pounds, and then with an iron imprint on the side of your face, that really didn't help matters either.
Only you, VA. Hey, I meant to ask you this last week, and I can't believe we didn't ask you this last week because it was, I think it was the anniversary of Ripken setting the record when he was playing against you when you were playing for the Angels. And yeah. I didn't realize it, so one of our listeners said, hey, do you know B.A. was one of the first people to shake his hand after he broke the record? Can you walk me through that? Because I was watching video of it, and you were like the third person in the dugout, and Ripken's going around the crowd, and you were one of the people he shook hands with after. Which is unusual to see that in the middle of a game, no matter what the record is.
Yeah, you, no question. And I think that he was basically forced, you know, by his own teammates to take that victory lap because it was in the middle of the game. And obviously Cal Ripken, such a, you know, class act, you know, on and off the field, respects the game and did not want it to be held up for him to be recognized. And so his teammates kind of forced him to do that. And so he ended up making the most of it. It was really a surreal experience for me, very bittersweet. It was awesome to be there, to witness that and to realize, you know, I think at the time, and I'd have to go back and, you know, do the math and figure out, what did it start, 83? 83,
oh,
yeah,
man, there's so, no math on this show, dude. We do not do math on this show.
I think it started, you know, early 80s. But all that to say, I remember thinking as he's making this trip around, I'm like, this guy – has not missed a game. He has played in every single major league game since I was like in fourth grade. And I'm watching him do this. Like, that is incredible. I'm thinking back to those years of playing Little League Baseball in Geneva, Ohio, and this guy was playing Major League Baseball and hadn't missed a game. And here I am getting to witness it. The bittersweet part of it, the bitter part of the bittersweet was I had pitched against the Orioles the night before and got crushed. So I had that day after, you know, where listen, that's the worst thing as a starting pitcher. You go out and have a bad ball game that night and the next day are just the worst. You feel like the biggest piece of crud in the world, and you realize I'm not going to be able to get back out there for 4 or 5 more days. It's a terrible time frame, and I'd had a bad game. And so it was the next night. And so while it was awesome to watch all that unfold before me, I was still, you know, licking my wounds from the night before, you know, and then starting to try to get into that mindset of getting some work done for your next start. So that part of it stunk.
Brian Anderson's joining us. Brian, there's all kinds of plans, you know, that we're hearing about. They could do this, they could do that, they could, you know, all to try and get the season going again. And Mike Trout came out with some comments that I thought were interesting because he thought that the Arizona concept, he said, well, how does that work? And, you know, well, I'm leaving and going to watch my kid being born. So am I going to be quarantined for 2 weeks? I'm not going to miss that. It just seems that everything that's being thrown out there right now, and I guess rightfully so, if you just think about our world right now, you're able to shoot holes in just about every possible plan to bring back baseball anytime soon. Does it leave you with any kind of optimism that this season, I'm not even going to say resume soon. I'm going to say starts at all. Did they play one at all this year?
I want to be optimistic, and I want to believe that at some point you're going to be able to you know, get a season, albeit an abbreviated season, going. But when you look at the nuts and bolts of what we're going through in the United States and in the world for that matter, you just wonder how it's possible. I mean, the Arizona plan, I think logistically, even just the field upkeep, having basically, you know, how many 3,000 people in this biosphere bubble where, you know, you're hoping that coronavirus doesn't invade it at some point, and you figure that because we're not immune to it yet, or we don't have a vaccine or a predictable treatment, that why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it somehow find its way? You know, between going back to the hotel staff, the housekeepers, the guys that are driving the buses. I mean, how many people are going to have to be quarantined for this season to happen? And so the more that you think about it, and even, you know, I like the idea of the Grapefruit League, Cactus League better than everybody out in Arizona League. I mean, I like that idea. I think that that's workable, because then you would have your own, locker room to be in. You'd have your own facility, and that would certainly be entertaining to mix around all those divisions for 1 year, something new, something that they can experiment with. It would certainly be exciting. But again, how in the world do you pull it off logistically? You know, we talked about it last week, and this is the other thing. So you've got the players, you've got your 25-man roster. You've got the coaching staff, the support staff, everybody around them. And then, you know, injuries happen. So where are the call-ups coming from? Because certainly the minor leagues are not going to be going on. Do you have to carry another 15 to 20 players? What do they do? Are they just playing some games on some backfields to try to stay sharp? Are they just taking batting practice? I mean, where are your call-ups coming from? Because as we all know, you don't go through a season with 25 players. In fact, last year the Rays used 57 players.
Wow.
57 players during the course of the season. Where are they coming from, and how are they staying ready? So logistically, the more that you talk it through, it comes down to, and we, I think the first time I went on with you guys, my feeling was, unless there's an ironclad treatment or a vaccine, that I don't see how it happens. I don't. And I want to be wrong in the worst possible way, because I want nothing more than, you know, to get us going again and to get sports out there. But, you're going to have to think of the health and safety of the players, the families. It just seems logistically almost impossible.
I think what's crazy about it is you're probably going to have to run. You're going to have to run 35 of your 40-man roster at least.
Yeah.
And then that goes against what we're doing as far as not having as many people in the room, right? It's a tough spot to be in. I don't know. There's no way you can start this thing without having a 35 or 40-man roster, especially if the minors aren't going.
That's no question about it. Because, again, injuries are going to pop up. I mean, you're guys are going to be ineffective, and there's just, you know, there's a lot that goes on during the course of a season, and a lot of players are going to get used. So now you go 35, 40-man roster. Let's just say 40-man roster, the entire 40-man roster reports. And then the support staff, the trainers, and everybody that goes along with them. Do you have to quarantine the team doctors too? Because guys are going to get injured, have to see the doctor. Do they, if they leave the hotel to go to an open hospital, are they all of a sudden, you know, they come back and have to be quarantined because they left the bubble? I mean, there are so many, you know, questions that come up with that. But then, you know, the managers, the umpires, you just go on down the list. There are a lot of people that are going to have to live in this so-called biosphere. And, you know, the hope is, of course, is that coronavirus would not find its way in. But what if it does? What if a guy ends up, you know, a bus driver? It passes it along. They test the teams, if they're talking about testing every week. You test the teams, and all of a sudden you've got a few guys that have tested positive. Now what happens? What happens to that team? The teams that they played the day before or the day before that? I mean, it just goes right on down the list. And then, oh, by the way, people around the country just in general are having a hard time getting tested. And now we're going to have enough tests to test everybody in this bubble once or twice a week. How's that going to play nationally? I mean, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, and that's why I don't think you're going to get any real definitive news about us even attempting to play again for a good while, because there are just too many questions out there that cannot be answered at this point.
Brian Anderson joining us, former Indians pitcher, diehard Cleveland Browns fan, BA, the basic Browns uniform of your youth is back. Your reaction to yesterday's uniform unveiling?
I love them. I mean, love them. All caps. It is. I was so excited for that to come out. I mean, I know that we're all thirsting for sports news. And right now it's the NFL, and that's about it. NFL and then replays of every other sport. But when those dropped, I had just finished working out in the garage, and I was going on my walk, and it came up, and I opened them up, looked at them, absolutely loved them. Love them. And I may be in the minority here, but and this obviously goes back to the Bernie Kosar, Ernest Biner, Kevin Mack, all those days. But I love, and I hope they wear it more than I think that they probably will, but the white on white. I love the and by the way, I read an article where someone had said that the home run was the stripes returning to the Sox, and he couldn't be more right. They're the best. I love those unis.
I knew you would.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like I said, the white on white too. I love the white on white. And it used to be they wore that so much because when you would go on the road, you know, usually the home team is wearing the dark jerseys at home, so the Browns would be white on white, and then they would wear that at home too. So you would see them in that quite a bit. But and that was the last time that you could get real excited about that team. So we'll see. But I love what they unveiled yesterday for sure.
Bri, thank you very much, buddy.
All right, fellas, have a great one.
Thank you. BA, I got to tell you, in the last 30 seconds, I tried to Google you and Carl Sadler on the Today Show after you guys caught that purse snatcher.
Could you even find that?
I can't find it. All I find are articles about it. There's no video of it. It was priceless. I wonder if anybody's got that anywhere. And it was priceless just to see. It was the Today Show, right?
It was.
Okay, and just to see Carl Sadler, who was a guy who had a cup of coffee, a lefty with the Indians there for a while, to see him flirt with Katie Couric during the interview was priceless. Was priceless. And I wish I could find that video, because that would be the best how-to video of all time.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. You got a week. You got a week. I'll talk to you guys next week. And in the meantime, get to work. I'll try to help you out on my end. Maybe I can come up with something.
I'm trying to think of who would have it.
Brian Anderson. Thanks, buddy.
All right, fellas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.